The domination of higher education by Western nations may be about to come to an end, and that's the assessment from one of the top experts on international education. Simon Marginson is a professor of international higher education at the Institute of Education in London. He told Daybreak Asia's Ira Melman that many factors are contributing to this change, including the virtual explosion of international communication through the use of digital and social media to facilitate cross-border meetings in real time. In an interview in his London office, Marginson told Melman the first country to reach parity with Western universities will be China, but he says that won't happen for a while.
Well, I think it depends on what the criteria are. You know, if you're looking at aggregate GDP in terms of purchasing power, China will reach the American level, with a much larger population within the next 5 or 6 years. If you're looking at the aggregate output of scientific publications, China will reach the American level. It's currently at around about 100,000 a year. The US level is 200,000 plus. China will reach the US level in the next decade. If you're looking at the number of high citation articles in science, clearly the US remains overwhelmingly the strongest research system in the world in terms of high quality science. China's making great strides in areas like chemistry or engineering or even physics and mathematics, computing certainly, but it's not anywhere near the European or North American levels in the medical sciences and the life sciences and so on. So I would say maybe, you know, in the physical sciences already, China produces more top 1% citation papers in chemistry than the United States does. But in overall, it'll be a long time before China achieves that kind of level of distinction in its research system, perhaps several decades. I think it's important to say that this is happening not because the United States is getting weaker or being displaced. It's happening because other countries are getting stronger alongside the United States. So although I think the American role, if you like, won't be quite as dominant in the world of science and higher education as it was, that won't mean the quality is in any way being diminished. It simply means that other countries have developed and caught up and they become more like partners rather than subordinates as they were.
I have a couple of questions that rose out of that. How will the overall structure, even the face of education, change when that happens? And how is the West reacting and going to react to it?
Well, I think that one of the things it'll do is English has been overwhelmingly the dominant global language. I mean, French and German and Russian and Latin, you know, and other languages that have been global languages have faded away. And English is the global language of business. It's the global language of knowledge and education and science. But I think Chinese will become an important language of use in the world, not just in China, because of the weight of China in the world. So, of course, Chinese is a much different language to English and a complicated problem for us English speakers to learn it. But, the Chinese, I think, had trouble with English for a long time and are still battle to learn English, but do so in great numbers now. And eventually we'll find ourselves being more plural about languages too. I think that we're going to see knowledge being created not just in the established domains in North America, Western Europe, UK and Japan, but it will be created in East Asia in great amounts as well. So there'll be a lot more exchange and there'll be a lot more sourcing of knowledge from outside the traditional strong countries. But they won't cease to be strong and they'll remain very strong, but it'll be a more plural system. Now, I think there's been a number of different reactions to that. There's been, in some quarters, a minority, perhaps, of people who are enthusiastically engaging with the new bases of educational strength and scientific knowledge in East Asia, just as they did previously in Western Europe. There's a group in the middle which wants to engage at the same time is not quite sure how to play it and how to build capacity to be most effective in engagement and not quite sure whether they're helping East Asian countries develop or they're working with them as partners. And there's another group who are defensive, concerned, inclined to shut down the flow, thinking that East Asia is piggybacking on the basis of US strength and simply turning itself into an equivalent without doing the hard yards, if you like, on it, you know, itself. I think that the enthusiastic engagers are always a minority. Those who are too unusually defensive and parochial are probably also a minority, and it's in the great middle where we're all not quite certain of how it's all developing, but we know we should probably have the door open rather than closed, that the future will be made. What impresses me about the way American universities are approaching this environment, given that there's quite a debate about the rise of China and a lot of concern in the United States about that, is that they've been enthusiastic engagers, and I think this is the way to build long-term relations of a productive and positive kind in China. It's engagement, partnerships, setting up, you know, new Yale law schools in China, establishing NYU's campus in Shanghai. I mean, these are sort of rich, thick collaborations which are going to mean that the future generations of leaders are growing up with each other and understand each other better, and will learn to collaborate, and will learn to make a world together which will be based on some kind of synthesis of traditions and cultures in a cosmopolitan way, and where there's space for diversity and different national traditions and strengths. And there's a long way to go on this, and the Chinese traditions in many ways are different to ours. It's quite difficult to contemplate the difference between a democracy and a one-party state. You know, where China will go politically, of course, will have a lot to do with how constructively these relationships develop. But I think by ensuring that Chinese government, Chinese business, Chinese universities and Chinese people are talking to American, you know, government, business, universities and people, and talking actively in many conversations at the same time, means that the maximum positive influences can be brought to bear on Chinese development, and also Americans will better understand China's great strengths and virtues and you know, what they can contribute.
Simon Marginson, Professor of International Higher Education at the Institute of Education in London, speaking with Daybreak Asia's Ira Melman.